You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards here along with my co-host and colleague and friend Keith Alexander. This Saturday evening, January the 28th, we're broadcasting live from our AM flagship station here in Memphis and going out to the affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. As always, online, thepoliticalcesspool.org. So many ways you can listen to the show. Even the commercial breaks are going by faster tonight. Donald Trump is giving us
He's got everything going on steroids.
I guess 3 hours is 3 hours, no matter how you slice it. But it can go by faster or slower.
He's increased our national metabolism.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But everything's going by more quickly tonight. That first hour was a lot of fun. I hope we can do an hour like that every week of his term. And we'll see what he does, but we were recapping Donald Trump's first week in office during the first hour of tonight's show. Unfortunately, the mood of the show is going to drift to something much more dark in this hour. We're going to be talking about the assault of Richard Spencer in Washington last week and the media's treatment of that crime. Several listeners of the show were curious as to why I didn't mention it on last week's show, because of course I was aware of it having happened, and Richard is a friend of mine and been on this show many, many, many times, and some people were curious as to why I didn't mention it. Well, there was a couple of things. Number one, we had a packed house. We were there to report on the inauguration. Certainly this is a very important story, but I just didn't think we had enough time with everything else going on last week to give it a proper treatment. So I purposefully made the decision to shelve it until this week, and now we're going to talk about it for the majority of this hour. And Keith, I'm going to break this down. Give me just a couple of minutes here to read some excerpts from Hunter Wallace's article on this, and then we'll really start to dive into it. Hunter Wallace, writing for Occidental Dissent, asks his readers to check out this jaw-dropping article in the New York Times. Now, this is the New York Times, on the legitimacy of political violence. The story begins, is it okay to punch a Nazi? Well, number one, Richard Spencer is not a Nazi. If Richard Spencer's beliefs qualify him as a Nazi, then everybody who fought the Nazis were also Nazis, because all Richard Spencer says is that he identifies as a white man and he wants to put the best interests of his people first. Now, that's it. I can guarantee you the people who fought the Nazis on the American side were probably much more radical than even Richard Spencer. I guarantee you to a man they were at least in favor
of racial issues and whatnot. In fact, one of the mantras that I've heard recently, which I think really resonates, is I don't want, or I will not allow myself to be treated as a Nazi for thinking like my ancestors who fought the Nazis did.
Well, that's right. And that's right. And so that's what we're saying. So, and if Richard Spencer's a Nazi, every white nation prior to 1965 was a Nazi nation as far as that goes. So here's the thing. So he's not a Nazi, number one. But number two, it doesn't matter. Is it okay to punch somebody? And to even ask the question must mean that perhaps the answer is yes, and that's what the New York Times is getting at. It's not a brain teaser, the New York Times writes, or a hypothetical question. It's an actual question.
And they're serious. They apparently have abandoned objectivity and fairness to such a degree that now there are nothing but unabashed partisans for the left, and they're willing to, by any means necessary, come after their ideological adversaries and will do anything, including assault and murder, I assume.
Well, look, we've got the video up. I'm sure most of my audience or our audience has seen the video, but you can see Richard Spencer getting blindsided and sucker punched. That can kill you. That is not hyperbole to say that can kill you. So they're asking, the New York Times asking, is it okay to punch a Nazi? And it says that's the question after an attack on A well-known far-right activist, Richard Spencer, in Washington after the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as president last Friday. Hunter Wallace asks that we're the ones being called fascists by these people, but we're not the ones opening a public debate on the legitimacy of violence and the legitimacy of violently assaulting our political enemies. Hunter Wallace also documents that it was not just Richard Spencer who was attacked in Washington last week. Several other white people, random white people, including Frank Luntz. Frank Luntz, the pollster, the Fox News contributor, was attacked and denounced as being a fascist while he was attacked.
And he was the most, first of all, he looks like Jabba the Hutt. He's fat and flaccid, and his mind mimics his body.
But he was called a Nazi, too, as he was beaten.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, if he is a Nazi, heaven help us, man. Anybody that has ever, even in a bad dream, imagined a conservative thought is a Nazi. Okay. Because Frank Luntz is the most politically correct conservative you could ever hope to find.
Well, elsewhere in Washington, in addition to Frank Luntz and Richard, there was a random Trump supporter, just a citizen, who was there to support the president. He put out a fire that the so-called anti-fascists started, called for peace, and was promptly assaulted for his troubles. So they started a fire. He tried to put the fire out and said, hey, let's be peaceful, and he was assaulted.
See, the left is the home of extremism. They are so frustrated they can't find more white supremacist extremists. In fact, I was listening to some type of interview of a Middle Eastern advocate, Arab Muslim advocate, with Sean Hannity, and that's exactly the way that the Muslim radical defended himself. He said, according to the FBI, we Muslims aren't the biggest threat of terrorism in America. It's white supremacists who are. And even the conservative Sean Hannity said, give me an example of white supremacist violence outside of this one, church shooting in Charleston. And the guy couldn't do it. He just kept rolling back to the FBI's report.
What Dylann Roof did, as horrific as it was child's play compared to what the Muslim did at the nightclub in Orlando.
Like we said, somebody like Dylann Roof is like Halley's Comet. They blaze through the atmosphere about once every 75 years. Meanwhile, Muslim multiple murders or serial murders or mass murders are a monthly occurrence in the world now, in white nations.
Well, it continues here, getting back to the Richard Spencer assault. And again, you really need to watch it because it's pretty brutal. And even though it was just one punch, I think he was spat on afterwards. And there was another punch that happened that wasn't caught on film. But let me read this excerpt from you from The Nation. The Nation.
Another big liberal glossy magazine.
Media, as far as the establishment
very,
is
very well-regarded establishment left-wing press.
The Nation writes, editorially, The Nation is committed to nonviolence, but it is also committed to airing differences of opinion as well as candidly reporting on strategies different movements choose to express themselves at this time. So, hey, as far as they're concerned,
it's okay if it's on our side.
This is just an expression of a movement.
It had no principles to begin with. Anything is that they'll jettison it to get their way.
I mean, imagine if Spencer had written that, saying, "Hey, we're against we're nonviolent, but if you choose to express yourself,
if violence will push the canoe further down the road,
we gotta go. We'll be back."
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you, and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes, all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. We're talking about not just the attack on Richard Spencer last week, but the media's treatment of it, which really makes it 10 times as bad. And Richard did suffer a ruptured eardrum and a slight concussion, so it did some damage.
But, you know, I've never seen the mainstream media, particularly some organ of it like the New York Times or The Nation, basically equivocating about the acceptability of violent means to reach their ends. This is a new.
But you're seeing it now.
This is a new frontier that has been crossed.
I think you're right. I don't think that is exaggerating the situation at all. I can't remember a time when basically the media is just outright either entertaining the notion or flat out sanctioning political violence against white advocates.
The mask of civility is off. Now they're losing. Now they are really nervous. They are really upset. They see that their liberal project that they thought was unstoppable has jumped the tracks, and Trump is the primary hijacker of this, or the primary cause behind it, and they now are going to pull out all the stops, James, to win. That's why there was an article, I think, in Western Voices World News this past week saying that we better be at the top of our game and win every election and take everything seriously, because if the left ever gains the upper hand again, we're toast.
You're absolutely right, because they are certainly lashing out violently now. Listen, let me read this excerpt. A viral video. This is from another major establishment artery, Keith. This is what's so scary. These aren't left-wing blogs. They're radical. I was going to say it's not a radical left-wing
blog. This is mainstream media. Mainstream, yeah. Old-line print media.
Here we go. A viral video of a masked protester socking white supremacist and anti-Semite Richard Spencer. See, before they mention Richard's name, they always do. They do it to us and to everyone else who's active in public. White supremacist, neo-Nazi.
I'm surprised they didn't Photoshop him in either a Ku Klux Klan outfit or a Nazi uniform.
Well, and of course, once they put those ridiculous adjectives in there, it basically says, oh, well, he's a bad guy.
They have Photoshopped him.
So it's okay to punch him. But socking white supremacist and anti-Semite Richard Spencer in the jaw as he was being interviewed prompted an increasingly common question. When is it acceptable to use non-lethal violence against those advocating ethnic cleansing? Well, Richard isn't advocating ethnic cleansing. Yes, but listen to this. Listen, this is the kicker.
They're the ones.
This is the kicker. It's difficult for many to say out loud, the story reads, but the violent attack against Richard Spencer does not deserve condemnation. Does it get any clearer than that?
No, that's... quite frankly, I'm so glad they brought up ethnic cleansing. They are the ethnic cleansers. They're the ones basically trying to end white nations and to have whites disappear from a position of authority in any nation. And once we become a minority, it's going to be open season because they've been stoking the fires of racial hatred against us for so long. That's what's going
to
happen.
This is the next thing that Hunter Wallace includes in his piece. Listen to this. You're right. They've been stoking it for years. For years, the left has been inching toward this explicit embrace of anti-white political violence. It can be seen in the rise of racial snuff films like Inglourious Basterds, Machete, and Django Unchained. Hollywood movies have been normalizing the idea that political violence is legitimate when it promotes the cause of anti-white hatred. This is why, for example, it's now commonplace to treat movies that glorify mass murderers, as in Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained.
And Machete.
And so that's it. And all of this has now been taken out of the realm of fantasy and into the real world. Inevitably, the consequences are going to be significantly more far-reaching than identity politics and social justice. If the left treats political violence as just another difference of opinion or a strategy that some are pursuing, and that translates into blood in the streets, where does this go? Straight back to the battlefields of bleeding Kansas.
Well, see, and it's not even-handed. For example, they haven't stopped bleeding about the Charleston Church murders yet. But on the other hand, they're suggesting that murdering white people, or particularly advocates of white people.
Well, or at least, they said non-lethal violence. But when you hit somebody in the back of the head at full force...
Look, when you pass from nonviolent protests, Gandhi, the sainted Martin Luther King, now we've gone beyond that to where H. Rapp Brown and Stokely Carmichael were, violence, whatever, by any means necessary, then it's just another small baby step to get to murder and genocide. That's where they're leading because they intend to win and they're not going to accept losing. We're in a battle, we're in a death struggle, and furthermore, since you've been bringing up Hollywood movies, let me say this. I cannot see how any aware person can be a fan of modern-day Hollywood movies. Basically, any of them are filled with poison. They're trying to propagandize your children. We've got an article that we're going to cover in the third hour that brings this home to you. Basically, letting your children watch modern movies is tantamount to letting a pedophile babysit your children.
Well, we talked about some of those movies that have led up to what we're experiencing now in the streets of the nation's capital. This is the streets of the nation's capital immediately after the inauguration of the president. This happened just blocks away from where Trump was, blocks away from where I was with Jared Taylor and Sam Bushman. Jared Taylor and we mentioned this on the show last week, we walked right past a detachment of Antifa who were already breaking a law. You can't go on the streets of Washington wearing masks and carrying flags and marching in a military platoon-like formation. And luckily, Jared and I didn't get recognized. We did get recognized several times while we were in Washington, but it just happened to be each time was by people who were friendly towards our work. But, I mean, that could have very easily been us, or just like it was Frank Luntz and other random people in Washington. But I want to say this, Keith, very quickly. It's worth recalling, we talked about Bleeding Kansas, the story of John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry in 1859. More than any other single polarizing event, and this is a comment that Hunter Wallace brings out, it's very important. John Brown's actions destroyed the Union. It pushed the average conservative to moderate Southerner off the fence in key states. The secessionist vanguard had languished for 20 years in the Deep South until this violence against Southerners, and this is the key, the Northern reaction and celebration of that violence demolished trust in the federal government, and that's when secession really...
That's when we knew we needed a divorce, when these people were cheering... the prospects of us being murdered in our own beds.
And Robert E. Lee, of course, was the one who put down the John Brown Rebellion.
And but, John Brown intended to arm the slaves and was, it's going to be like Nat Turner's Rebellion. Kill the people in their sleep, kill them any way you can.
Now, can you imagine the reaction of the lying press if we were the ones, if James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Sam Bushman, if we were the ones calling for violence against our political enemies and thousands of people were endorsing it and giving it a big thumbs up? In the eyes of the unhinged left, everyone from Richard Spencer to Frank Luntz is a Nazi. How long could this climate of hate continue before someone gets killed? Now, Richard Spencer getting sucker punched is a small story in the grand scheme of things, but the principle that is being established here is a big story. We're seeing the mainstreaming of political violence on the left, and it's going to have a big impact in our community and eventually the nation at large. When you have the New York Times and everyone else saying, is it okay? It is okay. This violence should not have been condemned. And then all of the comments, all of this hatred. If you want to know where the real hatred is, you can find it very easily, folks.
Well, let me say this. This just underlines the need for Jeff Sessions to be appointed Attorney General. We have race-neutral laws that are being applied only against white people now, namely the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the Hate Crimes Act. Hate crimes are any crimes that are inflicted by a member of one race on a different race based on the race of the victim. Well, for example, if this Antifa person was black that attacked Richard Spencer, that would be a potential hate crime. And we're seeing this being fomented. That's happening. And if Sessions is there, we're liable to see a whole new raft of prosecutions using the laws that the left has put into place to beat us with.
I hope so. We were too hot for Trump last year. I don't know if Sessions would have gone to bat for Richard or not, but I tell you what, it'd be a lot better than what we would have had otherwise. We'll be back right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. An evenly divided federal appeals court said Tuesday it won't grant the federal government's request for a new hearing about a previous decision allowing tech companies like Microsoft to deny official requests for customer emails that are stored abroad. Four judges on the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals wrote opinions dissenting from the decision not to rehear the case at the government's request, reports Yahoo News. In July, a three-judge panel said prosecutors cannot force corporations to release customers' emails on servers overseas. Circuit Judge Susan L. Carney, the author of last July's opinion, elaborated on it in an opinion issued Tuesday, in which she said that the Stored Communications Act of 1986 has been left behind by technology. It is overdue for a congressional revision that would continue to protect privacy, but would more effectively balance concerns of international comity with law enforcement needs and service provider obligations in the global context in which this case arose, insisted Judge Carney. Both the Republican-led Congress and the Trump administration are likely to support legislative revisions of the kind Carney recommended. While in Congress, CIA Director Mike Pompeo had urged new measures to make personal data, such as emails and other electronic communications by citizens, accessible to law enforcement and intelligence agencies.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to libertynewsdaily.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we're talking about the assault on Richard Spencer in Washington last week. He was just a couple of blocks away from where we were. And, of course, the media's reaction to it even is a bigger story. And Richard has filed a police report in D.C. God help him. Good luck, buddy.
Until we get a changing of the guard at the Attorney General's office, nothing's going to come of it. Now, if Jeff Sessions gets in there, he might. Then again, he might not. But he might start enforcing the hate crimes law according to its plain language. And quite frankly, I'd said earlier, if the Antifa attacker had turned out to be black, they could prosecute. It doesn't matter what his race is. If he was attacking Richard Spencer because he's an advocate for white people, that would be a hate crime. For example, let's say that somebody attacked some famous spokesman for black rights or black advocacy. Would you say, well, it would have been a hate crime if he hadn't been an advocate, but now that he's an advocate, all bets are off? Of course not. It would have enhanced the crime in the idea, in the minds of the left and the mainstream media. So consequently, we need to use these laws. It's just what Trump's been doing. The laws are already on the books that are necessary to protect our rights. We just need someone with a will to enforce them according to their plain language.
Well, I mentioned in Portland, Oregon, of all places. Now, Oregon is a great state. Now, I know Portland kind of brings it down, and it always goes blue.
Confess, you're a Portland Jailblazers fan from back in the 90s, the Trailblazers.
Well, I was a fan of the Portland Trailblazers, the basketball team, yes, indeed.
And they were called the Jailblazers back in the 90s.
Since 1988, so that predates that particular era that you're talking about. And, of course, those players have moved on since then. But now, we've talked about this. I've talked about this candidly. I remember I was 8 years old. I was laying in the den with my dad, and we were flipping through the channels, and we saw a Trailblazer game on, and it was in triple overtime at Dallas, and Clyde Drexler had 50 points. And that's just something my dad and I started doing when I was a small child. And
now,
we just started watching.
You need to tell the people, too. I invited you to go to a Jailblazer game.
Yeah, I missed it. They were here in Memphis. I'm glad I didn't go because they lost at the buzzer. But, even now as a grown man, I still kind of keep an eye on what the Blazers do, not because I care so much anymore, but it kind of harkens back to those memories of watching basketball with my father.
Back in his innocent days of childhood.
That's right. That's
James
right.
James loves it. So,
Portland is a liberal city, to say the least.
Off the chart liberal city.
But the law enforcement there just absolutely crushed a protest. I mean, crushed them in the way.
Was it an Antifa protest or was it a Black Lives Matter?
No,
what
it
was
wasn't Black Lives Matter. It was just left wing rabble complaining
about something,
and they got put down. I mean, the police weren't excessive. They didn't do anything illegal, but they didn't mess around with them like the police here in Memphis did when they shut down the bridge. I mean, they went and took them out. And so, and Trump, we have already seen some indications that the Trump administration is going to deal with protesters, obviously much differently than the Obama administration did.
The D.C. Police Department.
The protesters who were arrested last week are being charged with felonies, and they're being charged to the maximum extent that they could possibly be punished by. The Trump administration said they're pursuing that. So that's good, but the case of the
well begun is half done, as Grandma used to say.
That's right. The masked coward who attacked Richard is still on the lam, I guess. I don't think there's been any real effort to find him. And the Trump forces
knew that they couldn't depend on any significant backup from the D.C. Police Department. The D.C. Police Department is run by the government of D.C., which is totally leftist.
You can't have this kind of lawlessness happening minutes after the president is inaugurated, a block away from the seat of the empire. Look, all that rabble that came in the next day, those We'll talk a little bit more about that. We talked about it a lot last week.
The feminists?
Yeah, that, well, whatever you want to call them, the degenerates. I mean, it's the worst that the female sex has to offer. They were all in one place at one time last week, let me put it that way. But they weren't necessarily breaking any laws. But the people who were breaking laws, they need to be put down. And
if they were right wingers doing this, believe me, they would have been shut down so fast it would have made your head spin.
Sam Dixon wrote a great article about the attack on Richard Spencer, just simply entitled Richard Spencer Assaulted in Washington. We have two articles about Richard, one by Sam Dixon, Richard Spencer Assaulted in Washington. One that we were reading elements from in the last segment, has violence against Richard Spencer been sanctioned by Sam Dixon and Hunter Wallace, respectively. They're both at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and both of those articles, which were posted to our blog world this week, include video of the assault. Now, that was actually the second assault. He was punched earlier, and it just wasn't caught on camera, and it was a different person. And this guy comes along and waylays him, and it just so happened to be during an interview, and so they had footage of that, which has gone around the world now. But this is where we're at, and the media is sanctioning it. They're either, at the very best, they're questioning, is it okay to punch a Nazi? Number one, he's not a Nazi. Number two, even if he was, you can't kill somebody or attack somebody just because you don't agree with their political opinion.
This is not your grandma and grandfather's liberalism anymore. These are not the so-called advocates of nonviolence, the Mahatma Gandhi, so-called Martin Luther King branch. They've gone well beyond that now.
Hey, and I'll tell you another thing, Keith. Imagine this, and I'll get to Richard, to his eternal credit. He's not backed down a bit since then, if ever. He's doubled down. But the so-called Antifa, that's another somebody emailed me a second ago. We were referring to refugees as invaders. Yes, we were referring to invaders as refugees. He said, call them invaders. Yes, they are invaders. We're not shy about using that term. I normally reserve the word invaders for the third worlders that are coming over. When I say refugees, you know I'm talking about these Muslim extremists that are coming over. But anyway, The thing with Richard, in a best case scenario, it was just questioned whether or not it's okay to punch a Nazi. In the worst case, they were flat out saying, yes, this should not be condemned. We can't tolerate this.
The guy that did it is a hero and needs to be recognized.
Listen to these headlines. Neo-Nazi Richard Spencer got punched at Trump's inauguration.
Good work.
yeah. White supremacist Richard Spencer gets punched. White nationalist Richard Spencer got punched. Neo-Nazi Richard Spencer punched for a second time. Right-wing extremist Richard Spencer got punched. These are all different headlines from different major publications. But you see, CNN, white nationalist Richard Spencer punched during interview. They all qualify it with some slur, as if that makes it better to punch somebody. But nevertheless, it's not even true.
At the very time that he was hit, he was answering a question from the interviewer about whether or not he was a Nazi. He said, no, the Nazis hate me.
Yeah, and he said, what about Klansmen? No, these guys, to be honest, they don't like me either. Yeah, he's never admitted to being a Nazi, of course. He can't admit to something that he's not.
They're going to pour new wine into old wineskins every time. They know that nothing gets a rise out of the, left-hand side of the bell curve who they appeal to more than the name Nazi or Klansman. So everybody is going to be recast as either a Nazi or a Klansman.
Now, in the very rare occasion in the so-called civil rights era, we call it the Swindle Whites era, of course, the movies make it out like every day there was just mass carnage against blacks and deaths and lynchings, and that's all just fake. That's BS. But in the very rare occasions when a white person might sock one of these black guys in the same fashion that Richard was socked in the South, was the press saying communist agitator punched during March? No, it was a totally different treatment, wasn't it, Keith?
Yeah, or black power advocate punched or anything
black
like that.
Black supremacist?
Not at all. See, they make their own news. This is the fake news, folks. The fake news is the news that you get from the left. What we have been recording or repeating to you about what the mainstream media said about Richard Spencer, their characterization of Richard Spencer, is a perfect example of fake news.
Well, and I was going to say this. I lost my train of thought a second ago, but I remember it now. Richard has doubled down on everything. He's not backed down. But these so-called anti-fascists have figured out where he's living now. He's rented a townhouse in Alexandria, Virginia, on the outskirts of D.C. They have figured out where that is, and they're posting it all over the internet and even in his neighborhood, posting notices.
Calling for a volunteer for America to go in there and probably snuff him out or something. No telling.
I tell you, his life is in danger. I don't think that is rhetorical hyperbole at all to say that Richard Spencer's life is in danger.
Believe me, the Antifa have the nut jobs in their ranks just to do
it. And if he is killed, and this is a friend of mine, so I don't say this glibly, but if any of us are killed, do you think the press would lament that? Do you think they would?
Furthermore, do you think that the perpetrator?
We've already seen what they're going to do.
If the perpetrator were caught, do you think he would be prosecuted for a hate crime?
Dylan Roof thing.
Would it be a hate crime?
Dylan Roof. Would he be treated like Dylan Roof? No. In fact, he would just say,
"Be a hero."
It might just say, "Well, it might be a bridge too far to kill him, but it is justified."
And he would be the new Nelson Mandela of the New York Times.
Yeah, terrorists like Nelson Mandela. He's a hero. Anyway, we'll take a break. What a world.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so you know what's going on this hour. we're asking the question, is violence against white advocates being sanctioned? The answer is obviously yes. We've read for you a variety of headlines that suggest that, and not only suggest that, some of them outright say this action should not be condemned. And there's plenty more where that came from. We only gave you a sampling, a representative sampling. We could do the whole 3 hours on some of the articles that have been written about Richard Spencer's attack, and not one of them that I've read dozens to the contrary, but not one of them that I've read have said, no, this should never happen, no one deserves this.
Well, consider this. Consider the treatment of white advocates with the treatment of black advocates. Perfect example of the Orwellian world we live in which all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. It would have been, you know, when a white kills a black advocate, it is the crime of the century. When a black person, if they were to kill a white person, we have it now on record that the New York Times would be applauding.
Well, I mean, it certainly looks that way. I guess they still kind of framed it as a question, but the way they framed it, is it okay to punch a Nazi? I mean, yes, that's they were certainly leading.
It's not, if it's okay to punch a Nazi, what if he dies? Well, then it's okay to kill a Nazi.
There you go. And you could. And there's been a lot of examples in the knockout game, the game the blacks play when they find a white
polar bear hunting. They call it.
Yeah, that's right. There's been several instances in that where they have intended to cold cock somebody and they end up killing them because, hey, when you get hit in the back of the head at full force and you're not expecting it,
that happens. You got a subdural hematoma, it can kill you.
A couple of questions have come in from the audience. Number one, Ken asks, what's up with Jeff Sessions? And I'm sure what he's asking about is, at what year of the Trump administration do Trump's appointments actually get to begin their work? So here we are a full week in. Sessions was nominated several weeks ago. He's still not sitting in his seat yet. What's up?
Well, he is going to be the whipping boy of the class. He's going to be the one that they've decided to make an example of because he is the only one that they can link with the greatest sin of all sins, the one that Moses dropped on his way down the mountain, which is racism, okay? See, racism is supposedly, it was not even known as a concept before 1935, but now it is the chief sin of all sins, and they're going to go after him hammer and tongs. They've already picked their spokesperson, Al Sharpton. They've already had a fellow member of Congress, a black member, denounce him, somebody that had his arm around him and was extolling Jeff Sessions' virtue a short period ago when they were on the same side of some legislation. But Jeff Sessions is going to be the whipping boy. That's what George Wallace used to call it, the whipping boy for the rest of for the cabinet appointments. This is the one they're bound and determined to take out. Well, Jeff Sessions, I think, is going to get in, but it's going to make we've got to make sure that some of these faint-hearted snowflakes in the Republican Party like John McCain and Lindsey Graham don't fold on us, but they need to force the vote.
They're going to fold if they can.
Well, let me tell you, they are going to, the Democrats are slow-walking Sessions on purpose. Trump has taken note of it. He made a comment about it this past week and how shameful it was that these people can't get an up-down vote. And Schumer has said that they're going to slow walk it, which means, and then they asked Trump, are you thinking about using the nuclear option where you just call for the vote and you do away with the, for example, on the Supreme Court justice vacancy. Normally, you could filibuster that, but they know now that the left is committed to all, by any means necessary, throwing a monkey wrench into the mechanism of the Trump administration. So Trump has said that he is considering using that nuclear option, as they call it, where basically it's just an up-down majority vote. They have the power to do that now. That can be voted out of existence, and they're going to have to do it because otherwise you're going to be 6 months out without any progress on Jeff Sessions
exactly.
Or on this Supreme Court
justice.
This
is obviously one of the most key positions in the administration, the seat that Jeff Sessions is slated to hold.
In fact, at first I was promoting Jeff Sessions to be Secretary of State, but Trump in his wisdom found a much better position for him. This is a much keyer position for improving the lives of American citizens, particularly white people, in this position. The Attorney General's office has been used for time in memoriam as a rod to beat white people with by the federal government, and that can be turned around. It can be basically a protector of the interests of white people, and that would be a wonderful, wonderful development, James.
Okay. One other question, and then we're going to circle back to TPP. Hey, exciting hour in the third hour coming up. This one's been a little bit of a downer because of the topics at hand, and we hate to have one of our friends be attacked like this, and then the media pile on and act like not only is it okay, but it's justified. But in the next hour, we're going to tell you some of our most recent exchanges with the press. We've got some good stuff coming up in the third hour that I think you'll enjoy. I think you enjoy every hour, to be honest with you. But one more question, Keith, before we final word on TPP this hour, and then we'll head into the third with a full head of steam. This comes from Frank. Can we push Trump to abolish racial preferences in some shape or form? I think you've addressed that.
Okay. The 1964 Civil Rights Act, Title VI, prohibits racial discrimination in hiring, promotion, selection, colleges and universities, things like this. And what is affirmative action but racial discrimination against white people? I have had personal experience with this. I was a victim back in 1973 of affirmative action. I made a 170 on the LSAT, and a black classmate made under a 150. I had a 3.614 grade point average. He had under a 2.5. Guess who got into Vanderbilt Law School and who didn't even get waitlisted? And that was 73. That was how many years ago? Over 40 years ago, probably about 44 years ago or so. But anyway, my entire working career has been lived under the baleful shadow of affirmative action. And I just say this to let you know that this is real world stuff. This is stuff that will affect you and your children. And racial preferences could be attacked under the very law that has been used to justify anti-white racial discrimination. That's the 64 Civil Rights Act and the EEOC, which was created by the 64 Civil Rights Act to enforce it. Let Trump clear it out, staff it with people like Jeff Sessions, and let Jeff Sessions go to town and go after Harvard, Yale, and any other school that basically discriminates racially against white Gentiles in the admissions process. That would really be an eye-opener for the left. A taste of their own medicine, and high time for it, I say.
Last topic this hour, there was something else you wanted to mention and cover about the TPP.
Well, the TPP is just another multilateral trade agreement. These are used to promote free trade, but of course, the only groups or the only signatory that ever abides by this free trade mantra is the United States of America. China, for example, isn't doing right on GATT, for example. Mexico is not allowing us to freely trade with them. None of these other nations do. I've said many times in the past that being the only nation in the world that believes in free trade is like being the only woman in town that believes in free love. We know what happened to her. Well, that's what's happening to the United States and all of these multilateral trade deals. So what we need to do is basically scrap them, like Donald Trump has said. He said he's not against free trade, but it has to be fair trade. Well, free trade will never be fair trade because there's no enforcement mechanism in it to make the Chinese behave. We've just accepted their violation of our intellectual property laws, for example, as the cost of doing business. Just like there's all this hullabaloo about voter fraud investigations. That's another thing that Sessions could handle. Start investigating Democrat voter fraud in urban areas like Memphis, Tennessee, with large minority populations. It's baked into the cake, folks. It happens all the time. The left is trying to pretend that it doesn't, but they have the audacity to complain about the potential of Russians or foreign nations hacking in and causing voter fraud to occur in favor of the Republicans. The Democrats are always the beneficiaries of voter fraud. We have a saying here in Memphis: if you don't believe in life after death, come to Memphis on election day. You'll see dead people voting. You'll see empty lots voting. I've seen people down at the election commission get a raft of like 40 or 50 absentee ballots. And what happens, they go to a church, a black church, get all the members to sign on their way out, sign one of these things, and then the pastor goes out and votes for the entire congregation. This is par for the course. They don't want us to kick over that log in the forest because no telling what type of critters might scurry out from that. And see, this is what Jeff Sessions was castigated about, why he was supposedly such a racist, because he encountered that type of voter fraud back when he was the Attorney General of the state of Alabama and tried to do something about it, tried to prevent voter fraud. And since the perpetrators were black, he was a racist.
Folks,
end of story.
We have got an entertaining, good finish to that hour, by the way, Keith. We've got a very entertaining and lively third hour coming up for you. I think we're going to hit on some stuff that you may enjoy. We'll be right back.
Is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.